둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the series. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I'll give you three new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, just like this one. A great way to keep up with your favorite artists. Discover some new ones. You can grab us anywhere you get your podcast from. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating. Leave a review as well. We've had some great guests dropping by lately. Tony Hale was here. You know Tony Hale from Veep and Arrested Development. He's in the new Anna Kendrick movie called Woman of the Hour. Talked with Depeche Mode, Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, Les Claypool from Primus, and Maynard James Keenan of Tool were here together for the 1,000th episode. Big Sean dropped by, Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac, Thomas Lennon, Julia Stiles, and Heather Graham, all to talk about Chosen Family. Colin Greenwood of Radiohead, The Offspring, Brian Ferry of Roxy Music, and the cast of It's What's Inside on Netflix. Just an example of what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, we're going to be talking about the second season of Shrinking, playing now on Apple TV+. If you remember, it follows a grieving therapist, played by Jason Segel, who starts to break the rules and tell his clients exactly what he thinks, ignoring his training and ethics. He finds himself making huge, tumultuous changes to people's lives, including his own. It also stars Harrison Ford, and while they get the top billing, we're going to be focusing on the ensemble cast, including Krista Miller, Jessica Williams, Luke Tenney, Lakeeta Maxwell, Michael Urie, Ted McGinley, and having back once again the show creator, Bill Lawrence. Bill was just here talking about Bad Monkey. Of course, Bill created Shrinking and Bad Monkey and Ted Lasso and Cougar Town and Scrubs. He's a busy man, so we're going to be talking to all of them about grief, forgiveness, and messy personal growth, and what it's like to evolve the cast roles and the chemistry that drives them, really drives the magic of the show. We're also going to dig into the killer soundtrack, mood-setting songs like Angie McMahon's Letting Go and The Strokes' Bad Decision. Both of those make appearances among many other great tracks. And we're going to get personal with the cast members, too. Well, I'm going to ask them to reveal their own playlist for navigating the highs and lows of life, who their pick-me-up artist or songs are. So let's get into it and talk about Season 2 of Shrinking on Apple TV+. It's Kyle Meredith with Krista Miller, Jessica Williams, Luke Tenney, Lakeeta Maxwell, Michael Urie, Ted McGinley, and Bill Lawrence.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hiya.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Hello again, Bill.
I was about to say, Kyle, are you just going to do this every like 5 or 6 weeks, man? I'm ready.
Congrats on season two of Shrinking and everything that this show is. How often do you see the full story ahead of time when you're developing a show? Like John Hughes would talk about knowing what all of his characters are doing at any specific time. Like you're going into the second season. How far of this did you know from the beginning?
Well, the cool thing about streaming, okay, you have to understand I'm a dinosaur man. So when I used to, like when I pitched Scrubs, the first season was 25 episodes, which is almost, you know, a season and two seasons and a third of this show. So this show, you know, it was really easy. We went in and pitched the beginning, middle, you know, we pitched the first three seasons. So we knew, you know, who Brett Goldstein was going to be. We knew the first year was about grief. The second year is about forgiveness. We knew what the third year is about, but I won't tease it too much yet. So yeah, we definitely connect the dots within because we want to lean into what's working. Great examples this year, Lukita Maxwell and Luke Tenney, who play Alice and Sean, were such good young actor, actress, but we didn't know that they were going to be able to go toe-to-toe with all these heavyweights. And so now you'll see them kind of, we lean into what's working. But yeah, we knew what the show was about, at least for these three seasons.
Krista.
Although I do want to ask about the acting, I got to start with the music because it is on point once again.
Thank you.
So many greats. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what's the mood you like to set on this show specifically?
Well, I wanted, you know, we had talked about it. I had talked about it with Apple and Bill before we started shooting. I really wanted to use new music because I love music so much. It's given me so much. I love when we launch a new artist. So I love using new music because it's obviously it's easier to fall. I have so many favorite classics, greats, and I was like, unless it's something for Harrison, I really. You know, or if we're in a if there's a song that really works, I try to use new music. And the tone is, I don't like it to get too dark because, I like to play off the beat. You know, like if a scene is super sad, I don't like to like pile in with treacly music. It just depends. It's my favorite thing to do. I have a partner that helps me, Tony Von Purview. It's very, you know, Bill will call and say, in the morning, say, oh my God, this song, now I've edited it and doesn't work. And then that's 10 hours of my day is gone. Then I want to find, but it's like the most fun puzzle ever. I'm so glad you like the music.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Fink, Angie McMahon's Letting Go, one of my favorites. I mean,
it's my favorite. And how great a place. That was genius. It's over two scenes and it works at the beginning and the end.
And then hearing the strokes of Bad Decision. I mean, I know I could go on the Nash, you know, just on and on. It's well done. Perfectly
Thank
done.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. Music wise, you know, look, we talked about Bad Monkey last time and I was obviously doing something very specific with music there that I won't belabor here. The music on this show, I mean, it's going to sound way too deep, but I think it has to be somewhat cerebral. You know what I mean? In the terms of the world we're living in, I want the songs to not just be pop anthems and for the most part to be kind of commenting on the human condition, you know? And so I guess that's a long-winded way of saying that my only contribution was that I really respond to the songs that I think are super deep, you know, and make you think. Like, look, these guys are all therapists. And the opening lyric of the main song in the first episode is, this is a song about somebody else. Do you know what I mean? And for us as writers, we all go, oh, that's what's so weird. Because a lot of the times for therapists, you know, the problem that is landed in their lap and tormenting them is somebody else's problem. You know what I mean? And so we get way nerdy on this stuff. And my wife's so good at it, man. She's, and Tony, her partner, you know, they do some shows together. They do some separately. You can see who they are because Tony was really forward on Bad Monkey and he's a classic rock dude. And my wife is just crushing Shrinking.
And the Andrew McMahon and the Letting Go and Bad Decisions from the Strokes. I mean, the way they perfectly hit those.
By the
moments.
Way, the Bad Decisions Strokes song, right? By the way, what for a therapy show? It's awesome.
But I also love when the outfield makes a moment there. Like that's perfect too. You know, that's.
Oh, by the way, we got to take that back to because Jessica Williams gave us that. One of the things I love doing on my shows is if actors and actresses are open about quirky things about themselves, and she is the queen of one-hit wonders, you know what I mean? And Outfield, by the way, you could argue had two big songs, but she brought that into our show, and I'll be forever grateful for it.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free. TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with the cast of Shrinking.
Jessica?
I hear it's a little bit thanks to you for that outfill moment there. And I appreciate
it. Yeah, definitely. they asked me, like, I think before the strike last year, what songs do you want to sing, you know, with Harrison Ford in the car do you have, you know? And I've always got like a little Ashley Simpson I'm pretty obsessed with. Anything sort of like oddies I love and like late 90s I'm really into. And somebody chose Outfield. I don't think I did. I feel like the writers were responsible for that, but it's pretty funny the way it comes.
From what I understand, there's so much responsive comedy that goes on and improv. Going into season two, is it more comfortable? Do you find that you found a different kind of groove that you work with each other?
Yeah, I think going into season two for Shrinking, I was like nervous. I was really nervous because I was like, oh, was the first season a fluke? Like, can I do it again? And we had a strike. We had like a long strike. So shooting got pushed 6 months and we kind of lost the initial momentum of the show coming out, getting a second season, getting to jump right into the next season. So I was like, oh, do I remember Gabby? I've been kind of fun employed for a little bit. Like, can I do it? And so it took me like a scene or two. And then I feel like it was just like old times. And the nice thing is that now we kind of knew the characters a bit more. And, you know, I knew how Lukita was going to do her lines, and I knew how Krista was going to do her lines, and Jason and Harrison and Michael. And so there was a lot less guessing. I think the first season we're kind of sculpting and making shapes and hoping that this character makes sense. But this season, especially with the comedy, it was a lot easier to hit the notes and discover new things. So,
yeah. Lukita, how are you with the reaction style comedy that I hear a lot of this show has?
Hopefully good. A lot of the time I am not expecting it and I'm working so hard not to break on set every day because everybody's so hilarious. But yeah, we've got such a brilliant script. We've got the great bones to work off of and then get to play and do some scenes for us and kind of play around.
Hey, Ted. Derek, I don't know, has got to be one of the most laid-back characters maybe that you've ever played. He's almost like a kid sometimes, but also maybe the wisest person on the show.
You hit it right on the nail. That's
seems like, yeah, that you're getting more screen time this season. Like, how do you like to play this guy?
By the way, you nailed it. That's exactly right. And no one is happier than I that Derek has a little more time. And you get to know him better. And you kind of get to understand more of who Derek is. And that Derek appears, you hit it. He's kind of a surface. You think nothing's affecting him, but he's very deep, and deep enough that he doesn't he doesn't sway quickly. He's easy, and he's going to be okay. He's going to help other people be okay. And Derek is he's a pretty solid person, and he's out there in this chaos. I mean, chaos is everywhere around him, and you see Derek as this lifeboat, a temporary lifeboat. And I love that. And I also was saying that I think that Derek is, I always use light for Derek. Like, he is this sunshine in a room and warmth. And people go to that. And it's not in a corny way. I mean, he's just there. You gravitate to it. And again, this season, you see what's going on with Liz and Derek. And there's a lot happening. So, but Derek still stays true to who he is.
Yeah, he almost seems maybe the most fully realized like self-assured person, you know, in this whole craziness. I love that. It's also like, how does their relationship even, how has it worked this whole time? Because it's hilarious, but you're like, man, what's unsaid? Well, it seems like what's hold them together, you know?
You know, what's funny is that not that much is unsaid. I mean, that is what's uncomfortable. They say it. And it is sometimes uncomfortable. Like, she lays right into it. And Derek loves her. Derek respects her. And Derek's going to choose her every time. And I think people love Derek for that. And they understand that she loves Derek. They have this relationship that is massively honest. And I think that's why people are responding to that relationship, because it's not perfect, but it's honest. And I read so many people putting out online that, you know, oh, that's like my husband and I, or that's exactly what I do. And it's so interesting because they're not linear perfect. They're difficultly perfect. It's a tough relationship, but it's real. I mean, their love is real.
Liz, and seeing her try for character growth, it is so good. She's not oblivious, right? Like, she sees the scene and how people feel about her.
She sees it. I think one part of her doesn't care, and one part of her this season is just so lost that she can't get ahead of herself.
With Alice playing a role like this, that's, you know, you have someone who's going through trauma, but I'm sure also just wants to be a regular teenager. Like, what is it like to return to this role, and what did you want to bring in this time around?
I love Alice. I was so excited to come back for season two and work with everybody again. Everybody's the best. I think in season two, it's exactly what you mentioned. She's leaning into being a teenager, as in season one, she's obviously like this grounded rock and has to have her shit together because Jimmy doesn't. And in season two, we definitely get to see her open up more and also make more mistakes and learn how to deal with the fallout of making mistakes as a teenager.
And I gotta say, and I mean this in the best possible way, it's really fun to watch you do that on screen. I'm sure, I know I say this with the music around me and everything, but like, I think about songwriters who, you know, always talking about like they get to work through things just by writing a song. Like, I know this show's about therapy, but do you find that this show kind of offers that for you?
I don't think so. I think maybe if I was watching Shrinking outside of being a part of it, then maybe, but I try and keep Alice and Jimmy's lives separate from my own. Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with the cast of Shrinking. Luke, playing Sean again in season two of Shrinking, which seems like, I gotta say, this character feels like it, to embody him must be like a ping pong of emotions that you have to go through. What kind of headspace do you have to be in?
Great question. I think to play Sean, you just have to make decisions that are responsible for the entire show. I don't really kind of look at every scene and think of, like, for me, I just know his purpose in the show as a whole. I know what he's there for. This show makes people laugh. Usually when Sean's on screen, there's not as much laughter. I know why he's there. But the scenes that we do see him in usually are demonstrating why it's necessary to laugh. So for me, even though they might seem intense, I just go in and I do my best to lean on these goats of comedy who I'm surrounded by, because they'll find moments of levity. And then when we get those, then we're off and we float. But I just try to commit by preparing, and the headspace kind of comes through being in the room with all these people, being on set with the atmosphere. It kind of develops naturally, which is really cool to say.
Heart of the show, he really is. I mean, that real heart emotion that you're talking about there. And to be around those legends, and again, you've already done it one season, but to now spend a little bit more time with Harrison than Jason, what's that like to kind of trade the scene partner in that way?
Oh, man. So they're both hilarious in very different ways. Jason is such a light, jubilant presence. And, you know, Harrison, I'm just out him. He acts like a curmudgeon. He's a very jubilant man as well and loves to laugh and to make people laugh. So for me, being able to hang around that, it feeds me in such a cool way. It inspires me. And then in terms of performance, they both make me better in different categories, and I'm just trying to keep up.
Michael?
It's so great to see Brian back with the gang here on season two. And one of the things I love anytime about that you're on screen, it's like everything you say gets to be hilarious or heartfelt and is a reaction to whatever's going on in the best way. What's it like? What's it like to return to this character? What kind of headspace do you have to be in?
Oh, good question. He's you know, he's a very spontaneous guy. He's not the kind of a guy who spends a lot of time thinking. He sort of is. I mean, that's interesting you say reacting. He's very reactive. He kind of goes through the world, for better or worse, taking it as it comes, and it gets him into trouble sometimes, because he will explode a lot. He gets very sensitive, pretty selfish. But as an actor, it's really fun to play, because you have to be kind of a live wire and always alive and reacting and totally sensitive and selfish. I mean, he's not selfish. They call him a narcissist a lot. I personally like to think that he doesn't mean to be that. Certainly doesn't mean to be that. No narcissist knows they're a narcissist, but I think it's a product of his own arrested development. I mean, I can certainly relate to when you are when you spend time in the closet, you are not a fully developed person. And when you then come out of the closet, your relationships do change. And that's one of the things I love about this season that we explore with Brian and Jimmy, is that they were friends when Brian was straight. And then they stayed friends after he came out. But that doesn't mean that Brian's the same guy that he was then. Like, that's a different person. I've never really seen that on TV, and I really appreciated that we got to explore that, and I was grateful for that. It's not a huge thing in the show, but I was really grateful that we got to go there.
Especially that line, going back into a relationship where you have to eat shit, just said so much about what was going on in that.
Yeah.
We talk about mental health and we talk about music. Like, do you have an artist or song that you go to? Pick me up moments or lean into moments, whatever that might be.
Yeah, I really love Rilo Kiley a lot. Like, I fell in love with them probably when I was in high school and like the early to mid 2000s. And so they really stuck with me and feel really formative. It's like when I need a good cry, when I am crying, they just, I don't know. She just, Jenny Lewis really does it for me. She's great. Yeah.
She's still the best.
Like, she is. She's the best.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. She's just herself. And that's like what I love in an artist. And that's what I love about her.
For me, when I get in the trailer, I like to feel energy. I like to be energized. And there's this group called Wolfpack. I mentioned them earlier, man. They're like this new funk. You know about them?
I know about Wolfpack. Yeah, Wolfpack. Love them. Love them.
Pretty Wong, yo. Come on. The way he works that guitar, it's incredible. So him, but also shouts out to Masego. Shouts out to Anderson .Paak. Because they're all on my energetic playlist. Because when I get there, I want to get the wiggles out, whether I'm about to make people laugh, whether we're about to do a really intense dramatic scene. I just start from a point of energy, period. And that music helps me get there.
The first thing that comes to mind, a happy song for me, is Instant Crush, Daft Punk, Julian Casablancas. But then on the opposite end of the spectrum, if I'm having like a shit day and want to have cry time, then I'd probably say maybe like Radiohead. Any Radiohead in there?
I will take any Radiohead.
Any Tom York, any day.
My go-to artist is Barry Manilow, and I say that unironically. I am a fanilo. I'm really more than a fanilo. I'm an ambassilo. And His is the music that I go to. It's, you know what they say about addiction, that it's the thing that you do when you're happy or sad. I go to Manilow pretty much anytime. Not necessarily, I take breaks. I don't, you know, it's not, I'm not like a full-time Manilow person, but if I need to pick me up, I'll go to Manilow. If I'm feeling emotional and I want to like stay in that place and explore the emotions, I'll go to Manilow. I've seen him in concert like 20 times. Listen, I can't say enough about the guy. I love him.
For me, Blake Shelton or Michael Bublé home. I use that a lot when I work. And, you know, so often you're off on location somewhere or whatever, and it there's just something about that that just triggers me to get there. And I love it. And I do use music a lot when I work sometimes. And that's a good question in my book. I like that question.
You know, weirdly, if I'm feeling blue, I don't like to listen to music. So I can take my temperature of what's going on with me if I don't want to listen to music in the car. I mean, I'm a big Howard Stern fan, so I'm usually Howard Stern. But I would say pick me up music. I was just listening to a playlist I had, and it happened to be Talking Heads, Bowie, General Public. You know, all these weird songs came up. U2 was just today.
Well, what you all do is magic on that screen, and I mean that. Congratulations on this, well done on the soundtrack. I loved every
you.
Minute.
That means so much to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, it was a pleasure getting to talk to you. Thank you so much, and congrats again on this season. I love it.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of this season. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, of course. It was nice to meet you.
Take care.
You too.
See you, man. Thank you. And my thanks to the cast of Shrinking Season 2, playing now on Apple TV+. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can get 3 new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating, leave a review while you're here as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes featured some classics and favorites from Los Lobos, Joan Jett, Fleetwood Mac, Avery Sunshine, Nirvana, Blackalicious, Tori Amos, Sonic Youth, Lenny Kravitz, Elvis Costello, Radiohead, St. Vincent, Shovels and Rope, Big Thief, Jason Isbell, Eddie Vedder, Nathaniel Rateliff, and my interview with David Yao of the Jesus Lizard. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.